big color, bigger savings. Sherwin-Williams Super Sale is here. Get 40% off paints and stains June 5th through the 11th with prices starting at $30.89. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome to Activate Yourself with Gita Sidhu-Rab, where we feature otherwise normal people who, because of events in their life, have turned left and done unusual, inspiring, incredible things, like build a business, become a happiness expert, marry a prince, create an empire, or like your host, set up a health and wellness business, Nosh Detox. Here's your host, Gita Sidhu-Rab.
Hi, my name is Gita Sidhu-Rab, and this is Activate Yourself. And so today, for those of you who know me and have followed me for a while, I came to what I was doing, you know, because I was having so much fun as a lawyer. Don't believe that. That when my first child was very ill and he became allergic to everything, and he had anaphylaxis and he had asthma and he had eczema, he developed the most insane problems with learning and processing and understanding. And when this was happening, no one told me that that's what was happening to my son. I had to find these things out, and I would be the one going, but this can't be right. Why can't you do this? You could do this, and now you can't. And I would see him plateau and blank out. And then we would make some difference to him, his body, and then he would plateau and blank again. And I would go from person to person to person searching for a solution, all the while being told that it was in my mind. And it obviously wasn't in my mind, because the universe has caught up and the development and learning has caught up. So, you know, today is a real blast from the past for me, because we have, I'm reading this here because your Teresa is a parent coach and a behavior analyst and an infant toddler development specialist and an international behavior analyst, which just sounds like you should be working for the FBI, I think, frankly, because, you know, all of those just sound like they would go down really well in an alphabet agency. But in fact, what Teresa is going to do is she's going to talk to us. And for me, this is a really, you know, I want to welcome you, Teresa. Thank you for joining me. But for me, it's also something that is deeply emotional, because I had my first child so young, and I remember feeling like I had to fight everyone. I had to fight everyone. And it was the most awful experience, because I wasn't getting sleep. And, you know, and I started to speak publicly as this 20-something-year-old child because of this. Because I was like, my theory has always been that if I'm going through this, I wonder how many other people are going through it and they think it's their fault. You know, so this is a highly emotional topic for me, which in theory I've grown up around. But, you know, yeah, we'll put a pin in that one. So tell me what you actually do, you know, when you go into, because I asked you who you like to work with when you're in the green room, and you said really 0 to 6 years, which is so interesting. How do you work out that there's a development difficulty at zero?
Well, the thing is, parents can usually tell, right, very yes. early on when something is, I don't want to say wrong, when something just isn't going as they expect it to go.
It doesn't right? feel right.
Exactly. Your gut tells you something needs to be done differently. You just don't know what that is. And when you feel that, call me. Right? That's when I come in.
Ghostbusters.
Pardon?
Ghostbusters. Who are you going to call? Oh.
Exactly. So I come in, and again, depending on the age of the child, it's going to look different. So at birth, maybe, you know, when, of course, like right at birth, you can't really tell, but, you know, very early on, maybe a month or so, You can actually see. So if they're not making eye contact, I say, first of all, check to make sure that there's nothing with their vision, right? You always want to rule out medical. Make sure their hearing is intact, because if they're not going to do the things. They're not going to make the eye contact. They're not going to make the sounds. They're not going to be babbling because they're not able to get any input from their environment. When we don't get input, we have nothing to put out.
No, exactly. And so people must come to you really traumatized, because I remember just being so frightened the whole time. And it left me prey to some really unsavory people who I felt like I should have been able to trust, and I couldn't, because there weren't people like you, I'm pretty sure, at the time. So what is it that you then go through as a process to help them to understand as parents?
So I look at developmental milestones, and sadly, those have changed recently because now the CDC here in the United States, they've increased it. So for instance, instead of saying your child, should walk around 12 a year, they're saying it's 18 months. I'm like, let's just stick back. Let's just keep it to what it was. And the reason they did that is because a lot, this is what I've heard, okay? I don't know for sure, but I've heard that the doctors, and I've seen this happen, doctors like to wait. Oh, let's just wait. It's because he's a boy. Maybe it's because he's this,
How can you
that.
say children start walking at 18 months? That's nuts. Children start walking at 9 months.
Right. And when they said a year, I was like, okay, I can live with that. Right? Because you can put it on either side of that, a few months on either side is great. But then when you extend it, what that does is the parents wait, and every minute
Is
is
lost.
so important, and they're losing that time. I've been able to teach children skills that they didn't have within minutes. So now they can use that for the rest of their lives and, build that foundation, that put that foundation in so we can build on that. When you wait, there's more resistance, right? Because I'm used to doing things this way. I'm used to having a tantrum or
And you
screaming,
accommodate.
crying.
That's what I noticed as well. You create
Yeah.
accommodations around that, and so then it becomes normal.
Absolutely, because parents start to anticipate needs, which is one of the worst things a parent could do, is anticipate a child's need instead of giving them a way to ask for it, whether that's with a sign, a picture. And children, yes, very early on can learn sign. In the deaf community, children start signing about 6 to 8 months.
They do. I remember that, because they used to teach us to teach kids that, because it was a way for them to communicate.
Yes. And some parents are fearful because they feel if they teach sign, then the child won't talk. And I will tell you, if they teach sign, the child will talk sooner because you're building those pathways in their brain and you're putting that foundation in so that they can learn more.
It's one of the, that's interesting as well. We grew up multilingual when we were growing up. And one of the things is we were supposed, they used to tell you that if you spoke different languages and many languages, you started to speak later. And that was really interesting, because, in our communities, we all speak at least 2 to 3 languages. And Europeans naturally speak 2 to 3 languages. And that's, we just don't hear that. It's not a normal thing. You speak when you're speaking because kids love to speak. I mean, I have so many children, they never shut the heck up. Right? You can't stop them. It's not like they're going to not speak.
They're not exactly. And the thing is, Gita, children, so when they're born, they have about 10 billion neurons. And from birth to about 3 and a half, they make 1 million synaptic connections per second. Each of these is an opportunity for learning. Every synaptic connection is an opportunity for learning. So what can't a child learn if they're in the correct environment, if you create that environment for them? Now, that environment does not have to mean you're buying expensive toys, you're doing all of this. As my friend Dr. Ravi says, you are your child's best toy. Learning the tools, learning the strategies will help you set your child up for success. So it's not a matter of going out there and doing anything fancy. It's a matter of empowering yourself with the tools to help your child.
So firstly, there you have your baby, you're tired, you're exhausted, you know what the heck is going on in your life, because I remember that of the pure fog of, oh my God, will we ever survive this? Then the minute you start to survive it, they start to teeth. And then you're like, we're never surviving this, we know for sure. And then you kind of come through that bit. But you all through this, you then have that trend. I remember this so clearly with my son, that tendril of worry and fear and panic. And you're like, if I don't talk about it, it isn't happening. But it's there, and you had no one to talk about it, because when I spoke to medical professionals, they didn't have solutions. So for them, it wasn't happening. But what you're saying, that you parents should at that stage find someone like you or you and ask you for help. But what are they asking you? They're just coming to you because, you know, you can feel very stupid about this. What are they coming and saying to you? Something doesn't feel right. What's the language people use?
Yes, it could be something doesn't feel right. What should my child be doing at this time of their lives? I don't understand what I should be doing for my child. You know, so it comes in so many different ways. And I'm here to work with the parent, because as the parent, you are the expert with respect to your child. You know your child better than anybody else. And my goal is to partner with you, or any provider's goal should be to partner with you, right, with what you know, and put what I know together, so we can help your child, you know, reach their best potential.
Well, because that's ultimately the goal, right? The strength and the prowess of the child should be everything. Yes. Okay, so we're going to go for a short break. When we come back, I want to challenge you on that. I can teach your child in 1 minute. I want to know what you're teaching them in a minute and how you be doing that. So we'll be back in a minute.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, so we're back. Teach your child in 1 minute. Where were you when mine were growing up? What are you going to teach them, and how do you do that?
Well, it all depends on the skill, right? So I was asked to, actually, I was invited to the little island of St. Kitts. And I mean, I do this all the time, but
you poor woman.
I know. So, because there are no services there to help children with autism, or very few. And no behavior analysts, no, you know, they do use play, but that's very limited. Mm-hmm. So I was invited there, and there was this young man who the mom was like, he always screams, I don't know what he wants, you know? So we taught him to sign EAT like that. So basically it was do the sign with him, put, you know, EAT, put food in his mouth. EAT,
I love dogs. Yeah.
And before you know it, he was signing EAT. Then I was like, okay, now he's got EAT. Let's do drink, because those are the two basic needs, right? If I can at least get those two needs met, I'm thinking as a child, then those are two fewer things I'm going to tantrum for. Right. And my parents will have more peace, right? Less stress in those moments.
I love that, because part of what you're saying here is that the parents want freedom from stress, frustration, guilt, and doubt, and shame. Because a lot of it is, oh, well, that's in your side of the family, not mine, you know, because that was my mother-in-law. So that was really helpful. No. And so what do you do with kids that are a little bit older?
Pretty much the same thing. But now we can explain to them. And even honestly, even if the child is younger, I still explain things to them. You know, the parents are like, well, they can't talk and they can't respond. I said, that's okay. The more words a child hears, the more words they'll have in their repertoire, the more words they'll be able to express, right? We help increase not only their expressive, but their receptive language by talking to them. If we talk through what we're doing, science shows children, if they hear about 1900 words an hour, they will more than likely be on track for language, for developing language.
Even if they're not walking till they're 18 months.
Yeah.
stupid.
So that was outside of that
You right?
situation. So yeah, so we want to talk as much as possible. And one of the best ways to do that without adding anything to your day, because parents are like, how am I going to find time to talk, to say 1900 words? Just talk through what you're doing, whether or not keep your child close and just talk through, I'm making coffee right now. I'm going to pour the cup, get the cup, do this, do that. Oh, look, I got the pink cup. Whatever it is, let them hear those words. And that will actually help them, put that foundation in to develop language initially.
So, okay, I want to go to take a little step back, strategic overview type step. What is it? I hate this term, but we're going to use it. The special snowflakes that we have given birth to. What is it in our behavior that has shifted? Because I have versions of this around nutrition, because I think our nutrition has severely impacted our children's mental health, because that's my field. But what is it about our children that makes them so unable to deal with stress? Or is it that they have more developmental issues? And or is it just like my parents were like, well, we just forced y'all to do it, so you develop resilience. And I'm like, thanks. I'll pay my therapist for the next 10 years. What is it that we are missing in this conglomerate of concepts and ideas that have created children that are very specific, I think?
I think it's a combination of things, right? Because first of all, when our child is born, they did not come with, instructions attached to their wrists or their ankles. So we don't know what we're doing. Nobody
But we
tells
never did.
us.
Your mother didn't, and my mother didn't.
No, they didn't. The thing is, though, they had the extended family
Yeah.
that had the
Completely.
experience, right? Yes. And everybody ha lends something to the relationship. And you don't have to take everybody's ideas, but in there, somebody knows something. Somebody gives you a gem that you try, like, oh my gosh. And then you have the support, right? You've got all the people talking, you've got all the people doing things, right? Now we're so alone in this on this parenting
Isolated.
journey. We are very isolated, and COVID kind of emphasized that. Right. So now parents are, and then I think too, it's not only that we're alone. I think there's a generation of, I know what I'm doing, I'll figure this out. And it takes years to figure it out, and you're losing, all that time when, so if somebody has a solution, hey, let's just avail of ourselves of that, right? Like you with the nutrition. So that way, instead of trying to recreate the wheel, you've got some solutions, right? And I think too, parents also, we want to do everything for our child. And doing everything for your child is doing them a disservice
Oh,
in
so much. That
teaching
was the
them.
version of throwing us in the pool and expecting us to swim.
Right. I say, I take the kinder, gentler approach.
Yeah, no
However,
shit.
be in the pool with the child so you're there so they can learn. Okay, you know what? If anything happens, I'm here with you. Right. So it's just not anticipating those needs. Because I feel too, a lot of times, and I've seen this happen and it's really sad because I don't know about in the UK, but a lot of times in the US, if a parent does something that a neighbor or somebody else feels does not serve the child, they can call the Department of Children and Families and they come in and they have no idea why. Like it's perfectly logical and there's nothing wrong with the parent, with what the parent is doing. People interpreting what they see changes that, and then they're, and then now the parents become fearful and don't do what serves their child. Instead, they're doing what society thinks should be
But
done because they're afraid.
like discipline. Discipline is highly unattractive, but deeply, deeply necessary.
Yes, and discipline, honestly, just disciplining, disciple means to teach, right? Which is where the word disciplining comes. And it doesn't have to be a spank. It could be a tone. It could be a look, but we have to work our way to that. And sometimes it could be a child having a tantrum in the store and people coming up. I mean, this has literally happened. I went to a store to work with a family because the mom's like, I don't know what else to do. Every time we go, he has a tantrum. I need help.
Yeah.
So, first of all, I was actually peeking around the corner just to see what happened before the tantrum so I can help them determine what it was. And of course, there are all these onlookers. And I was like, please, like, guys, listen, I'm here working with the family, which I didn't say it that way because I couldn't say it that way. But I was like, listen, please don't look, stop, looking
Stop feeding
and
it.
helping the mom. It's causing her anxiety. So please, 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 can we just all step away? And I actually walked away because I didn't want them to know that I was working with the family. So I walked away to a different place and looked from there. Then when I felt it safe, I approached the mom and we went through it. But society was looking at her thinking, oh my gosh, what's she doing? Her child is tantruming. She must have done something wrong. And
It's
so
always
we
about the
worked.
women. We always have reasons to attack the women.
Yes. Yeah, it's sad. It really is.
Oh,
And
I have distinct memories when you're talking of, we lived just down the road when my son was born. And I remember him having utter hysterics in a toy shop and me grabbing him and walking back with this screaming child down the street. But thank God we're all British, no one said anything. Went down the road, turned right, went down the road, turned right, went down the road, went up in the lift, screaming, screaming, screaming. And I got home. He must have been about 3 and a half, 4, because I remember throwing him on a bed and he almost bounced with the thing. Because there was a place where I was like, I'm going to hurt you. And me walking away because I had no idea what to do. Oh, it's horrendous. And then to have people watch and judge you while that's happening, no, that's
Yes.
horrible.
Yeah, it was terrible. It got to the point where when I joined the family, somebody approached trying to talk to him. You know, oh, sweetheart, I had to put my hands out and say, please, we've got this. Please, 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 I'm asking you, just, step back. They don't know who this person is. They don't know the family, and they're just everybody. And, they're well-meaning, trying to help. However, that was not the type of help that he needed at the time.
What did you do?
I just went up to him and just explained to him. And of course, when a child is having a tantrum, you can't explain anything to them.
No.
Right. So I did it with my actions. Right. I asked the mom to just hold him tight because, maybe there were some sensory things going on. So just if he accepts the hold, hold him and give him these compressions to help soothe him. And, have a tone, like be calm. First of all, the first thing is to be calm because your child is going to sense that energy if you're not calm. So
Yeah,
I
completely.
ask, so if you're not calm, don't hold him because all it's going to do is make it worse, right? So if you can find it within yourself to become calm, then hold him if he accepts that hold. If he doesn't, we just have to calmly wait because it's just going to, it's going to increase anxiety. Again, of course, every child is different, right? In some children, it may increase anxiety. In some children, they may want to flee. And that would be one of the worst things because now we're chasing a child in a parking lot. So we want to be mindful. And that's why I say it's really important to partner with the parents to know what they're, to learn about the child so that we can plan for these things. And you always want to have a plan before we walk in. So if he's used to doing this, okay, this is what we're going to do. So the parent knows. And then when we do get together and this is happening, the parent already knows.
Yeah,
Yeah.
you can you kind of mapping what you've got to do next. Okay, so we're going to go for a break. When we come back, I want to ask you about the results that you've seen when you've done this, because I think that for many of us parents, especially new parents, you don't know what a difference you can make to a child's life by a little bit of intervention by somebody skilled who knows what they're doing, right? So we'll be back in a minute.
The station that makes you feel good.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So we're back. What is it Like, what are the cases that shine in your mind as, wow, this was such a huge change from what you managed to do?
Oh, gosh, there's so many.
We have time.
Okay. Okay, cool. So one, I can say his name because his mom has allowed me to. She's one of my poster families. Amir, oh my goodness. When I first met him, he was 3 years old, had no functional language. I mean, he could talk. He just didn't know how to ask for what he wanted. He could spell Nickelodeon and Geico and just any word you throw at him, he would spell them. He would have his blocks and spell them. However, if he wasn't spelling, if you put any word, if he put the alphabet out and you mixed anything up, there was a tantrum. Any change in his life led to tantrums.
Right.
Yes, it was. And of course, mom, you know, she told me she went to bed crying because she just did not know what to do for her child. And it's so many things. The doctors told her, you know, he would never.
Oh.
And I told her, I said, listen, the doctors don't know. They're just going based on what they know, on their best estimation. And they're not familiar with autism. So he was eventually diagnosed with autism. He was hearing impaired, he had a language delay. And so when I say language, he could talk, but his receptive and expressive language, there were challenges. So understanding to follow directions were not in his repertoire. Asking for even water was not in his repertoire. Yeah. So it was fascinating. So I went one day, we noticed he was thirsty. So I said, Mom, I told Mom, I said, you have to look for cues, right, in his behavior. You have to pay attention to him so you can know when what he's trying to communicate based on what he's doing, because he's not saying anything. So there was a bottle of water, and it was a cold bottle, and that started to sweat. And he took his hands and, yeah. So I thought, he's thirsty. We're going to work on drink. So we picked up. So I said, thirsty. And then I gave him a drink. Because again, there was no relationship there between the word and the refreshment that would help soothe that feeling. So we did that. And now it's funny because the first week it took him, when we first started, it took him about 2 weeks to learn a skill. So it took him about 2 weeks after us doing that repeatedly, saying thirsty, giving him the drink and water to connect that. Then it took, and over time though, it went from 2 weeks to a week to hours to days to hours, then to minutes. He would learn them in a minute. So that's why I say it's really important to do these things, because we're building these neural pathways that will be the foundation for them learning. So we worked on the tantrum. So I would put things out of order. And again, it's about being nonchalant with it. You know, I say, oh, I want the A last. And he would say, no. I said, oh, help me put the B third. And then he would say, okay. You know, and just do it. So it's again, just, you know, and him helping me through it and doing that. And I'll fast forward to today. He is in gifted classes. He has friends. I mean, which is so, he wouldn't talk to anybody in the beginning. We actually fought to put him in an inclusion class. The school that he was in refused. I asked mom, do what she needed to get him in a school that would, and she did. So now he takes the bus all by himself. She used to drive him to work every day, to school every day. He takes the bus. He walks his sister to the bus. He has friends. He plays basketball. He goes fishing. He enjoys astronomy. You know, he's got all these interests, and he is just so amazing. So, yeah. So, I mean, I do what I do because of the Amirs. And I'm also going to tell you about Malachi.
Tell me.
Oh my gosh. And I just saw him on Saturday. We don't work together anymore, but mom was like, come visit anytime. So I went to visit him on Saturday, and it was amazing. So when I started working with him, he was a year old, and Malachi did not make any sounds. He did not babble. He just, He screamed. His only way of communication were tantrums.
Wow.
And mom was like, he needs help. And dad was like, oh, he'll grow out of it. And that happens a lot. And I'm saying that because it happens a lot in a lot, because even the doctors will say they'll grow out of it, right? So I worked with them for about a year and a half. And I went to visit. So we started again with the basic needs, right? Eat and drink.
Yeah.
So taught him those two skills. He mastered them. Then he started asking for more things. We taught him more things because, again, signs are really powerful to teach. So we taught him all these signs. And then he started to, when he did the sign for thirsty, he started to say, this. And I thought, oh my goodness, it's coming, And he'd say, eat when he made the sign. And so mom was like, oh my Lord, like, this is so amazing. She sent me a video a couple of months ago because, again, like I said, we stopped working together about a year ago. She sent me a video. And of course, when we stopped working, he was talking and asking for things that he wanted. He was
And
he
how
toilet
old was he?
he was 3 when we stopped working
Okay.
together. He was toilet trained and he was communicating. And so she sent me a video of him counting and doing all of this. And I was like, oh my goodness, how exciting. I went to see him on Saturday, which is what, so this is Monday, so a few days ago. And he said, mom, they bought him a kitchen set. And he invited me to his room, to the kitchen. He said, come, see. So I went and he said, he made me a hot dog. So it was a little play hot dog. While he was cooking the hot dog, he said, be careful, it's hot. So
Wow.
a child who didn't talk a year ago, be careful, it's hot. And he gave it to me and he goes, oh, a spoon, I have to find a spoon. So he found a spoon, gave it to me. Then he found a cup and he said, oh, then he said, a drink, you want a drink? And I said, sure. He had this little thingy, he'd say, said, coffee. I said, sure. And he handed me the cup.
That is so amazing. I mean, I'm thinking of the difference that kind of part of what you have to do is you must also just comfort parents in their
Yes.
not going mad, right? That there's that process. You brought a book out, right?
I did. Yes, I did. I've written a book called How Can I Help My Child Communicate? Because I believe communication, once we can teach children to communicate, it can relieve so much stress for the parents. And I want to start there because you cannot help a parent who's stressed and at their wits' end. So if I can help shed light on something, right, give them some tools so they can help their child, then they can see the other things that their child, the other areas their child
Yeah,
might
because you
need
can
help
take a
in.
step back and get a wider view.
Exactly. Because if the child is not communicating, not, like there's so many knots that could not be, that could be at play here. If I can say, okay, let's take this off your list. They're communicating. Okay, now what else do you see? Or do you see anything else? Are you okay? So that's my goal. My goal is to improve the quality of life for families.
And does that, and your book helps with that because you have your tools in the book?
Yes, there are tools, there's strategies. And it's actually a lot of stories. So it's not
Oh, good.
clinical
That's
in any way. I use a lot of stories from my practice to help parents. I've changed the names, of course, to protect the
yeah.
families. However, they're all stories that, of success that I've had with families to give parents, so they can actually see and envision their child. I even ask them at the beginning to do an envisioning exercise so that they can see their child doing these
Oh,
things.
100%, because then you're holding space for them.
Yes,
How
yes.
can people find you, Teresa, if they're looking for you?
Okay, my website is TeresaAlexanderInman.com. And my book is on
Okay.
Amazon.
Perfect.
And I'm also on TikTok at Parent Coach Teresa and also Facebook at Teresa Alexander Inman.
Amazing. Thank you very much. I mean, I've been sitting here all the time, kind of thinking, can I send you my adult son? Okay, maybe not. But thank you very much, Teresa, for joining me. That was, it sounds so benign, but when I think back to what it was like living with my son, I think having somebody with your skill set would have been life-changing. utterly life-changing. So I really want parents to understand that you are not stuck, that there are options, that you can be helped, right?
Yes. And that's what I hear a lot, right? Because the doctors will say this, that, and the other thing. And the parents are like, oh my goodness, you've given me hope. And my goal is always to teach the quickest thing that I can teach just so they can see, so that light can turn on and it will spark something.
That's,
you know, so
that's what I say for life, I think, though.
Yes, yes, yes. If I can teach them something within minutes, like I'll find that thing that's important to the parents. And they're like, oh, wait, my child can learn. With one parent, it was teaching the child to put his shoes on. And she's like, oh my goodness, I never thought he'd learn to put his shoes on. So then she's like, okay, what else can we do? It's like, okay, let's go to train now.
You know? Then you get hope, right?
Yes.
Thank you for joining me.
You're welcome, Geeta. It's been my absolute pleasure. I could talk to you forever.
Right? I was like, it feels like we've been talking for 1 minute, and then it feels like that we've actually been in a conversation for half our lifetimes, because it touches so many levels of emotion, this kind of stuff, right? And it's all about hope. But thank you for coming on. My name is Geeta Sidhu Rob. This is Activate Yourself. Reach out, because there is help. And if you are struggling with anything to do with your children, your babies, the one thing I want to say that I learned about this was to trust my gut. It was always my gut that was right. Always. And that is not to put down anyone else, but it was always my gut that was right. And if your gut says that there's an issue, you go after that so that you can help your child. And I wish you much love and luck with your children. And I will see you soon in the next episode.
Thank you so much for joining us. Our goal was to give you pause, make you think about your life, and inspire you to say, wow, what if I tried to do that? If they can do it, so can I. Did it work? Let us know by finding us on social media at Geeta Sidhu Rob or at Nosh Detox. We upload new shows every 2 weeks here. And if you start to miss us, check us out on YouTube.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.